So this is the Pacifica National Board meeting of September 25th, right? Sunday, September 25th. Coming back into order at 2:14 p.m. Thank you, Bill. And everyone, if we could have order, please. We're in the public comment period time. So members of the public, if people did not get to sign up on a sign-up sheet, we could just start taking it. There's only a few people here, so.
I'm ready to Wesley.
Madam Chair?
This is the public's time, yeah. It's the published time. Yeah. No, it's the time that that Marcel announced on the radio like a month ago. That's why we stayed with the time that we had agreed to. Campbell?
Are you going to call the
roll? Oh, I guess I could call the roll. Gee, that would be so open session-like, wouldn't it, Campbell? All right. So before we don't have the public lined up just yet anyway. So we definitely have quorum because I'm looking at the numbers. And Afia, could you go ahead and, Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please? Because we're in open session for the first time today. Thank you. I'd forgotten because we were meeting all morning. We were in closed session, so. Lydia, did you want to? Oh, okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Don't worry. It's everyone was excused that wasn't here but is here now, so I guess we can make a note of that.
Well, he came in late. He was here eventually.
He was here eventually. Yes, you were tardy.
No.
Okay. Punishment to ensue shortly.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Teresa Allen. Teresa.
She's right outside.
Jessica Apollinar, Rodrigo Argueta, Nia Bediaco, present, Wesley Bethune, Carolyn Burden, Lydia Brazan,
here,
Bill Crozier,
here,
Kathy Davis, Heather Gray.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Ifia Wangaza, present. Kimri Orendorf.
Present.
Laura Priebus.
Here.
Marcel Reed.
Here.
Summer Reese.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Dan Siegel.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Andrea is excused.
Wesley,
Bruce,
could you ask Teresa to come in from outside, please, or let her know that we've started? Thank you.
Bruce Wolf, Arlene Englehart, and Laverne Williams. We have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And there's Miss Allen. All right, thank you. So, I think we need to just quickly approve the agenda for this afternoon's open session based on the various things that have transpired. We had agreed to do bylaws noticing when we came back into open session. Obviously, we're going to do public comment next because that's what is noticed. And then we will do the bylaws notice requirements. And then we have the budgets that need to be completed and voted upon this afternoon. And I understand that we also have a motion regarding abolition of the death penalty or Pacifica's opposition to the death penalty, which will be immediately following the budgets. So we need to just quickly go through each step so we can get this accomplished this afternoon. Is there any objection to that proposed agenda based on what we've all agreed upon during this meeting? And thank you. Hearing none, Madam Secretary, can you mark that as Carolyn?
I'm sorry to have been out, but I just wanted to know that I'm not
here. Oh, thank you, Carolyn. Yes, please. Mark Member Burden present. So, okay, so no opposition to that agenda, Madam Secretary, if you could mark that as such. And before we begin, I would like to thank especially John L. Mella and Otis McClay for putting in tremendously long hours during the last week, getting AudioPort back on the air and still working to tackle the various problems that took down some of our websites, in addition to, of course, streaming our meeting because they work night and day sometimes. So great thanks to our technical staff.
Does that come with pay raise?
our unconditional gratitude. Yes, Teresa?
Madam Chair, one item that was supposed to be at the top of our agenda today was the approval of minutes from July 27th and August 24th also.
I feel that from a fiduciary perspective, it is imperative that we pass the budgets in a timely fashion, and as several of the executive session matters have taken extended periods of time, that I think that we need to move. Several things are on schedule for today, but I think the budgets take priority, and we have approved that agenda, so we need to get through that.
So what exactly?
What we had agreed upon based on the various things that have transpired in the last couple of days are that after public comment, we will do the bylaws notice requirements of the various proposed bylaws amendments, because there are specific notice requirements that have to be adhered to. Then we will go back into the Finance Committee portion to hopefully approve the remainder of the budgets and any other provisional depreciation motions. And we have also the anti-death penalty motion that was agreed to also be handled today. Well, Teresa, No. I understand completely. The likelihood of committee reports is remote, if not impossible, by the time we get through four more budgets. So I'm hoping that we will simply, as expeditiously as possible. How many? I'm sorry. Three. Okay. Gosh. See, we're already one ahead. I feel so good. Thank you. We'll see when we get there. If we can do it expeditiously and not take so long on each thing, then we'll move to the next thing on the agenda. Okay. So. Because the rest of the things are still pending, and anything we don't handle this weekend, we're going to be back in our telephone land. So with all that being said, we're in public comment time now, so I would like to go ahead and give it the floor over to the public. Thank you, Kimberly. Members of the public, I'm not sure. Did you anybody sign up on a sign-up sheet? Okay. Oh, thank you. Sorry. I can't read. Okay, thank you. Jim Brown, please.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Jim Brown from WPFW. I'm the newly elected president of the PFW Programs Association. And
congratulations.
I'd like to, on their behalf, welcome you again to Washington.
Thank you.
And to our station. I just have a few things. First, I'd like to, first of all, commend you guys for the work you're doing. From looking at the information you presented to us, it seems as though you're doing a lot of things, and that's good. One thing I will ask is that someone, and I'll communicate this through the person who represents the WPFW on the election committee, is that we consider that year that we had the election snafu, that we consider that in terms of calculating the tenure time for those who were on that year, who lost a year, in terms of what how long it will be, how long they will stay on. So that's an issue that I'm suggesting or asking that you look at. Okay. The other thing is that this is kind of sad, but last year we lost a very strong soldier, a person who had worked with the PNB, the LSV, and so forth for many, many years. And I found out that a couple of people did not know that he had passed away. And that was a good friend, Ambrose Lane. So I'm saying this in public comment because a lot of folks did not know he had passed away. And I just want to let those of you who didn't know that it did happen. And with that, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Jane Gatewood, please.
Hello, everybody. Jane Gatewood. I'm with the WPFW Local Station Board. Since January 2010, I've served as secretary. And I previously served from 2004 to 2007. During that time, I was treasurer and also served on various national committees. And Like a lot of other people, I am extremely happy that we have John Hughes at the helm of our station after so many years of turmoil. But I'd also like to point out that we have brought Mr. Hughes into an environment that is grossly under-resourced, and that really pains me, because I come from a perspective that says that the board is responsible for ensuring that the staff has the resources it needs to get the job done. And I see we are short not just on funds, which is obviously crucial. Money matters. But we're also short in two other key areas of resources, and that is providing respectful and effective oversight for our staff and for clear, articulate policies and procedures. So all the other trappings of good governance, those are part of the resources that we have a responsibility to provide. And it's really hard to avoid the possibility that our current governance structure, you know, may have contributed to the rather precarious situation our station and our network finds itself in. And this is in spite of unbelievably countless hours that people of goodwill, good talent, have invested over the last 8 years to try to make the system work. And we have so little to show for it right now. We really are in a very precarious state. So,
excuse me.
I just want to incur. I feel like 2012. We have the potential to turn the tide. We have enough people with experience and knowledge and talent at each of our stations, and we need to turn the tide. We need to make sure that the 2012 elections are extremely effective. We need to be clear, what do our local boards need to do? What does our national board need to do? And we need to recruit people who have the skills to do those jobs. And we can do it. But I would like to suggest that the national board really needs to focus on the big picture things and really find a way to trust the local boards to get the local things done. Give us resources we need to do our jobs at a local level, and we can do it. And I know that various things that the committees are looking at are aimed at that, and I know it's difficult. And the message that I want to put out today is that in complicated times, keep it simple. Please.
Thank you.
And I have with me a list of all of our committee members.
I'll take one of those, please, as the chair. That those complaints frequently come to me. Thank you.
This was sent in March 1st, 2012, to George Ryder Edmondson.
We had this conversation, didn't we? He was no longer chair, and I didn't get it. Thank you, Jane.
2011,
yes.
2011. You know,
do you have an extra copy for our secretary, Ms. Gatewood?
That's yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, well,
just
yes,
one other,
that's fine.
Just one other issue is that emails don't work. I don't know if anybody else has figured that out yet. It's just amazing how, as a network, how huge the gap is between where we need to be and being able to communicate with each other and where we are. It's just so difficult. Mm-hmm. So I think that probably the most important thing that could happen in the next, maybe 30, 60 days, would be to come up with a new and improved communication system. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like it's fundamental.
Thank you so much, Ms. Gatewood. Hold on, Lydia. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak during this time? Sure. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Brown. I'm a board member at WBIA in New York. I wasn't going to speak, but I just want to make a note of the fact that I listened yesterday to several people from WBAI who spoke with criticism of the station management and of Pacifica management. And I've watched management of Pacifica and especially of WBAI spend over a year of very, very painful work and long hours without any thanks from those people who spoke up. It reminded me of firemen who had spent all day rescuing 20 children from a burning building, only to have one of the residents complain to the fire chief that they didn't knock before entering. I think that many of the criticisms leveled against Pacifica are petty and small, and they result from personal interests of those making them. Either their programs were moved, or they were banned from the station for violence. One of those persons spoke here yesterday. And they resent it, and they present a matter of personal interest as a matter of principle and democratic interest, and it's not so. I would like to see more comments by the public focus on the larger issues that face Pacifica, its financial problems, its programming, which will have to change in order to attract more people, and the fact that no money in Pacifica's budget is ever spent on advertising outside of Pacifica, which is where its new listeners will have to come from. A cart on the air to those listening is not useful to Pacifica because it doesn't address any potential new listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Are there more members of the public who would like to be heard during public comment?
I have three. Myself.
Would you like to go ahead and take the mic?
I'm ready.
Of course, that's fine. Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, I wanted to ask both Jim and Jane are here, okay, if I may. Okay, just a little bit, if you could be a little bit more specific. Carolyn, can you wait just a second? If we could be a little bit more specific so we have something to act on. This is a rare opportunity to be here. In terms of your elections, we also have new board members, so from Jim, if you can describe what the snafu is so we can address it and prevent it next time. And from Jane, I want to know what are the resources that you feel you haven't received as much in the past and you need for to move forward. I mean, I think most of us know that you haven't had as many candidates as the other stations, you haven't met quorum as soon, and blah, blah, blah. So if both of you can address those issues, I'd appreciate it. And then perhaps we can, if we get to the election committee, we can do something.
Thank you, Lydia. Well, at least since we don't have a ton of members of the public, we have sufficient time to revisit the issue. So go ahead, Jim, please.
I just wanted to bring those of you who are new, those of you who are old,
know
this. But there was a year that we at WPFW did not meet quorum, and then we had some people who were elected previously and then who came on late and so forth, and they spent a whole year there in limbo, and we wanted to know, does that time that they were there not as elected members, does that count towards their actual tenure on the LSB? That's what I was referring to.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And I guess we'll have to deal with that. That's
go ahead, Ms. Gatewood.
I feel like our local election supervisors and our national election supervisors failed us miserably, the entire election process. we had, I think, people at a local level who just purely had WPFW and Pacifica best wishes. Yeah, everybody comes with their own slant. It's true. Yeah, it's reality you have to deal with. But I'm losing track of the years now. This is our last election was.
Was last year? It was
2010.
Yes.
2010. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So 2010. a lovely young woman. She just good energy. At the very beginning, I did this with three election supervisors. The first thing you have to do is you have to make sure we have a clean list of members.
Mm-hmm.
And hasn't the national supervisor talked with you about this? And I had the impression that it was all handled at a national level. So nobody at a local level even had a feel for what was going on for that. And that level of disconnect, just about something as basic as the membership list, it that was a problem. But it just went on from there. So the what worked in terms of a message getting out locally, the basic problem was that when somebody in California, I guess she was, I'm not sure, trying to orchestrate what happens locally with somebody who is very green, very sweet, but very green. And then there's this hostile relationship between our staff who we're trying to support, but it's like, okay, you throw a whole bunch of cats and dogs into a cage and then you expect them to figure out what to do with each other. And they do. It's just not really what you want to. I don't know.
Thank you.
I can put more in writing.
Okay.
Thank you, Jane. And I'm just, this is speaking personally, not even in my, we're very aware of many of the issues that transpired with the elections last year. So, and this isn't the forum to speak further on that, but everything you're saying is fully understood by many members of this board. So thank you very much. Do we have more members of the public who would like to speak? Thank you.
Sorry for being so late, I guess.
That's all right. You're just in time because the mic
time
is free.
The clothes, huh?
No, yeah, you're fine. You're fine. You're right in the middle of it. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
Well, again, my name is Benito Diaz. I spoke earlier yesterday. And I'm with the PFW LSB Programming Committee. And I want to speak to several things that were said yesterday by our former chair. Number one, I think the improper impression was given that the LSB at PFW is super into fundraising. I don't think that is correct. I think that the LSB at PFW has been brought kicking and screaming into fundraising only because of the pressure from the programmers, particularly since they're the ones that keep us alive, and the staff. And in fact, the LSB has only has only conducted one activity on its own, and is going to again in November. The other activity, which was referred to, was a combined town hall and fundraiser. The town hall part was conducted by the LSB, and the fundraiser was mostly conducted and put on and promoted and made possible by the staff. And so the LSB hitched a ride on it. And so that's number one. Number two, our former chair gave the impression or spoke to the fact that programming, no surprise, I'm sure this is not a surprise to anyone, but that programming at PFW and the role of the LSB is an issue. And what should be that proper role? What she conveniently neglected to say is that not only is the role of the LSB an issue, but perhaps a more important issue should be what is the proper role, if any, of political parties on this LSB, PFW, or any other LSB at any station. And I don't care whether we're talking about Republicans, Democrats, or in the particular situation of PFW, the role of the Green Party. What is the role, what is the proper role, if any, of any political party? We can add other names, other, you know, fill in the blank which party you want to talk about. You know, so that's number two. And then thirdly and lastly, I want to add to the comments I made yesterday about the issue of this motion, the language programming motion. And I want to say thanks to Rodrigo, who provided me with a copy, you know, of the original motion and the thing that was, I get the impression was passed last night or yesterday. I would seriously want to suggest to the PMB that you all reconsider this motion. Again, I'm Puerto Rican. I speak Spanish. So I don't think it's in that is the issue. I think the issue is what makes sense and what makes sense at a particular station or market. And so I am not going to, again, as I said yesterday, I'm not going to try to speak to what may or may not make sense in Los Angeles, Texas, or anywhere else. I just know that in D.C., and I would assume that a similar situation applies to New York, we have different kinds of Spanish-speaking populations in each of these markets, number one. Number two, you know, some of them, in some places, folks speak English but prefer to speak in Spanish. In some cases, they don't speak any English or hardly any English or don't want to or whatever the case may be. You know, but what I do know is this. I would ask, number one, how are y'all going to monitor and administer that kind of motion? You know, is the PD at each of the stations going to be able to monitor that? And how would she or he do that? Is the PD going to be required to speak Spanish? All right.
Thank you.
And furthermore, then if we're going to do news programming in Spanish, are we going to do programming in other languages? How many other languages? I'm just finished.
Thank
the point
you.
Is, in D.C., we have folks from the Caribbean, for example, a big Haitian community. The current show is in both English and Creole. Are we going to do a show in Amharic? Are we going to do a show in Portuguese for the Brazilian population? How many different African languages are we going to do a show in? So, et cetera, et cetera. And how many native, indigenous, Indian languages and African languages are we going to do shows in for the African-descended and Indian-descended folks here in the Americas?
Thank you, sir.
And so on.
Thank you.
Next up, I have William.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. How much time do we have?
We've been generous because there aren't a lot of people in the
good.
Audience. I think that ran about 5 minutes. There you go. So please, speak your mind. Thank you. And there's just exactly enough time for three speakers to each speak 5 minutes while in the allotted time available. Thank you.
Hi, William Hairwagon from New York. I'll be reading the first part of a statement to respond to several misstatements and important omissions in yesterday's presentations and answers to questions by WBAI management. First, about the station relocation. It is important to state that in 2006, then Program Director Bernard White began soliciting funds for a station relocation fund and helped raise more than $100,000 in a segregated or separated account. Then, in 2008, he created a station relocation committee to scout possible venues. However, following the abrupt change in management in 2009, including Mr. White's immediate and out-of-process firing, all of this work ceased. Only in the past few months, with little more than a year left on the station's lease, has current management reinitiated an effort to find a new location. This has been done without any consultation with either the LSB, which must be involved at least in the fundraising and budgetary aspects of the move, or the paid and unpaid staff who, as the people physically present day-to-day, are the most knowledgeable about what the needs are for any new space and who deserve to be consulted as the workers who will use the space more than anyone. Indeed, Mr. Reimers has failed, despite requests from the LSB Finance Committee, which I'm a member, to even provide a written set of criteria for the new space, nor has he explained how he decided what size, location, and specifications the new space should have. Now about the development director. Yesterday there was a presentation by the person described as Assistant General Manager and Development Director, Andrea Katz. Ms. Katz is an interim hire with an undisclosed salary and paid through a six-month loan, a highly irregular and problematic method of financing a new staff position, the agreement for which has never been provided to the LSB. The GM, Bertold Reimers, failed to create an applicant review committee to screen candidates and make recommendations for each position in violation of the contracts with both the paid and unpaid staff. Indeed, none of the many hires done since 2009, first by LaVarne Williams and then by Mr. Reimers, has ever been done pursuant to the required review committee. Excuse me. Programming changes. Yesterday, Interim Program Director Tony Bates, when explaining the massive grid changes he unilaterally... Thank you. Getting help with the computer I'm reading from.
A brief moment for technical assistance.
Yeah, technical assistance, yeah. When explaining the massive program grid changes he unilaterally instituted last November, claimed that he spoke with producers affected by the changes and was willing to alter his decisions or even reverse himself if requested. Even if that had happened in isolated cases, the reason 54 producers signed a petition denouncing the way the changes were done is that many producers were not consulted, and their pleas for reconsideration went totally unheeded. One producer, whose show was permanently canceled after 8 years, was told he hadn't raised enough money, although he had repeatedly been denied an opportunity to participate in pledge drives. And Mr. Bates refused his request to reconsider the cancellation of his program. Several producers of very popular, well-produced programs that raised significant funds resigned rather than accept times that were impossible for the hosts to manage or... where was I? Yeah, up there. Yeah, it went dark on me, and now I'm trying to find my spot. No, I'm okay.
Don't stop that.
Sorry about that. Let's see. I was up to beyond several producers of very popular, well-produced programs that raised significant funds resigned rather than accept times that were impossible for the host to manage or, in their view, would have been a disservice to core listeners and drastically reduced listenership. Beyond the question of consultation with individual producers, the union contract for unpaid staff requires consultation with the program council, which includes elected representatives of staff as well as the department heads. This was not done. In fact, Mr. Bates has not held a meeting of the existing properly constituted council once in his 28-month tenure. Months after the outcry from producers, Kathy Davis, in her semi-management role as public affairs director, unilaterally, without consulting the body of producers, announced a plan to create a new program council with an arbitrary structure and in violation of the existing contract with the unpaid staff union, which prescribes a specific composition for the program council.
You have 1 minute left, Million.
Thank you.
You want to do
Bannings? Read fast. Bannings, the statement yesterday by Mr. Bates and Mr. Reimers that those banned had committed violence were simply false. At least 10 listeners and staff members were banned in the early days of Mr. Bates' tenure and that of LaVarne Williams as interim GM. None of them has ever been told the reasons they were banned. Despite repeated public generalizations by WBAI management about alleged violence, no manager has ever specified any acts supposedly committed by any individual. No such statements can be truthfully made since no such acts occurred. Furthermore, most of those banned were not even told by management that they were banned, only discovering this when barred from entry by building security staff. What all of those banned have in common, however, is that they were critical of management's arbitrary and anti-mission statement policies and their conduct.
Thank you, William. Next speaker on the list is Bob.
So continuing statement.
Reading into the congressional record.
Chain letter.
Sorry, just give me 1 second, please.
Filibuster, pass the phone book.
Okay. So continuing on the question of the bannings, so-called bannings of staff and listeners. To give a particularly egregious example, during an LSB meeting held at the station in September 2009, LSB member Seth Goldberg, LSB member Seth Goldberg, who incidentally is a medical doctor, pulled a chair out from under a listener attending the meeting, causing the listener to fall to the floor. The late producer Kamau Kalfani, who is a direct eyewitness, immediately denounced the assault, prompting Dr. Goldberg to admit that he had done it, saying, quote, "I'm an idiot," unquote. Mr. Kalfani implored the interim general manager, LaVarne Williams, who was present, to do something about it, but she remained silent. Then a paid operations staff member on duty at the time, who had been parading around the station with a large sledgehammer, no, I'm not exaggerating, began cursing and baiting Mr. Kalfani. Within minutes, Ms. Williams told Mr. Kalfani that his weekly program, scheduled to air later that night, was suspended, quote, "until this matter is resolved," unquote. When Mr. Kalfani and several staff and board members, including myself, met with her minutes later, appealing to her to reverse her decision, she adamantly refused. Days later, some of those who had met with her, including Serene Roberts, who had been scheduled to host the program that night and was not even present during the LSB meeting itself, found themselves barred from entering the building with no notice or explanation. Additionally, two listeners who had been vocal at the LSB meeting later found themselves banned. The listener who had been assaulted by Dr. Goldberg was banned without explanation to him, and during an on-air management report, he was falsely accused of having committed violence. Neither the staff member with the sledgehammer nor Dr. Goldberg were ever sanctioned. After months of communication with Mr. Bates, Mr. Kalfani, who had trained an array of multi-generational, multiracial interns, including youth from the Junior Scholars Program of the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture in Harlem, received a cursory note stating that his program would not be reinstated. Mr. Kalfani died this past January, never having been granted the promised meeting with Ms. Williams to hear what he was accused of and to give his side of the story, and never having been given a chance to say goodbye to his many devoted listeners. Perhaps most egregious in terms of Pacifica governance are the continued bans on two board members, LSB members, who are barred from attending committee meetings at the station or other events or activities on station premises, including volunteering during pledge drives. This obstructs these board members' capacity to carry out their fiduciary responsibilities. And all of the bannings reflect an utter lack of due process or even the most basic elements of fairness in the way these strong station supporters and longtime dedicated staff people have been forcibly separated from the station they love. Both Ms. Engelhardt and Mr. Reimers have rejected repeated requests to rescind these bans. Fairness demands that all of the bans be lifted immediately. And I would just like to add to that that it's so frustrating to be coming to these PNB meetings and LSB meetings for month after month after month for 2 years saying there's some fundamental principles of fairness and some fundamental procedures and processes that are laid out in our bylaws and our contracts in all kinds of places. Can't we at least have a discussion about what was done wrong and how it can be remedied, and no one has ever actually been willing to engage, particularly with the staff. Essentially, the staff union has been broken by management. And there's been no dialogue about any of this, and certainly no willingness to rethink it and really to do justice, which is to reverse all this and, you know, bring people back so that we have a, you know, one cohesive WBAI family, as we should. So I would just urge this board to really take a look at this situation and step in and make sure that management once and for all does the right thing.
Thank you, Bob. Gentle people, if I can hear your voices in the background, please be respectful of the fact that we have people addressing us. Thank you. Listener A, please. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome. Thank you.
A few things. I'm not fluent in Spanish. In fact, I've forgotten much of what I've learned. But I think an important point to distinguish in terms of what's being offered in terms of Spanish language stuff on the air around the country is that what we offer on Pacifica, with my small ability to understand the language and with conversation with people who are in fact fluent, is that we have a progressive bent to what we do. So it's not just that Spanish-speaking people, people who are Spanish-dominant, can go listen to other media. It's that what Pacifica offers, the same as we do in English, is supposed to be significantly different from what everybody else is doing. Okay. I think it would be great if we had both Spanish-language program as well as bilingual or interlingual programming. Because I know a number of people who teach English, who teach Spanish, who are English or European, who are whatever, and they benefit both in terms of having their students listen to news, but also listen to news in Spanish. I think Americans are remarkably resistant to other languages, to our deficit. I want to talk a little bit about Pacifica's mission later in the extra 3 minutes that I understand we have, but I also want to remind the board that it needs to pay attention to its treatment of staff network-wide in terms of unpaid staff and respect for unpaid staff, who should be called unpaid staff, by the way, not volunteers. Volunteers who I think are awesome are the people who come in sometimes for the entire drive. Every day they show up for 2 hours or 3 hours. But they have a different relationship to the station than people who've been doing programming and spend hours preparing for programming and come in on a weekly basis at, you know, the goddess knows what time in the morning to do their programming, et cetera. They should be afforded the respect of being called unpaid staff. In fact, it costs to produce radio at Pacifica. With regard to staff paid staff contracts, I understand from a friend of mine in New York that we're in fact engaging either with regard to contract negotiations or other issues that the Pacifica Board is working with Jackson Lewis, which is a notorious union-busting law firm. Their website advertises union avoidance, which I would think is out of keeping with the Pacifica mission. But I am hoping that I have been misinformed, that phone call was incorrect. I'm sure someone will assure me. I'll actually grant 30 seconds for someone to assure me that I'm wrong. Again, and I've been saying this for the past 10 years, what's happening with the retirement plans for WBAI and other stations' paid staff? A lot of the staff is over 50. I am over 50. Believe it or not, I'm among the youth sometimes. You know, so people have been working for 30 years, and they actually deserve to know where their pension money is. Mm-hmm. We've had a bunch of motions coming through the Finance Committee in BAI years ago to make sure this was the case. Health insurance payments, I'm told it's being paid out of national, but I know of people who have gone to the doctor to find out that the premiums were not paid and that they are not covered. This has happened more often than it should. It should never happen. Okay? They work, they get paid, they get their benefits. Person masquerading as PD at WBAI made a comment about people who'd been on the air for 20 years or 30 years. Aside from any suggestion that there might be age discrimination, the fact that you've done something for a long time doesn't necessarily mean that you need to pack up and go away. I think internships should be encouraged, and there are people at WBAI who have been stellar at it. Kamau, the late Kamau Kalfani, was one of them. He's always had interns. I won't go forward on that. I'm extremely pained by the treatment that has been afforded many producers, and particularly him, because he would show up at the station from Patterson where he lived, even when he wasn't working. It would cost him $20 or $30 for that round trip. He would do it. He would come in, he would train people, he would help other producers do things. And the way he was treated by LaVarne Williams is shameful. But, you know, if you believe in justice, everybody's going to get theirs. Your closed sessions really need to be brought under control. There need to be a more accurate assessment of how much time you're going to take. This meeting was supposed to open at 10. Everybody knew that probably meant 10:30, 11, but I think 2 o'clock, which might have been when you opened or even after, I don't know, is actually really, really bad. You know, other people have things to do. I missed the National Book Fair. Could have gone there. I mean, there's so many things that are happening. Be clear. Work on that, please. I heard a lot of brand new ideas, which are actually brand new secondhand ideas, being claimed yesterday from the BAI management team. But hey, stealing ideas is a good American tradition, and I'm glad to see that this management is moving forth with that. Just briefly, I want to mention that William Heerwagen has been off the air since March of 2010. In spite of the fact that he was removed for playing news, he was told by at PNB, the issue came up at a PNB meeting, I think the following month, in April in L.A. maybe. But at that time, he was told that in response to a question, Nia Beriaco asked a question of our attorney. The attorney said at that point that he should not have been removed from the air and that that should be redressed. It is now September 2011. He has been off the air for more than a year and 6 months. And no response from the board, no response from the management. You know, it is your job to make sure that they do their job. If you don't want the job that comes with your office, may I respectfully suggest that you resign. So work or leave. Not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other, we're at time, but we started late. So are there any other members of the public who have not yet addressed? I'm sorry?
After listener A, Serena.
Yes. very creative. Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public who has not spoken? Okay.
Would it be possible for somebody to speak a second time?
Well, we gave everyone 5 minutes each. Is there something that is pressing that is short? We do have to pass budgets today as well.
I would make it real short.
Go ahead, please.
And can I just tomorrow public comment?
If you have something else you want to say now, go ahead and retake the mic for a moment.
Well, it's not just about me. I'm saying there are other people who had hoped to come today, but when they heard that you were still closed at 12, they didn't. So what's the story tomorrow?
We were not scheduled for public comment tomorrow because we had an hour each of the 3 days, but that can be changed, and we could have a half hour of public comment tomorrow because it's a short day tomorrow. So that would... go ahead, Mr. Diaz. 1:30, Serene. Okay? Thank you.
Well, real briefly, I want to associate myself with a lot of the comments that Visitor A just made, especially with regard to the staff, to both paid and unpaid staff, and throughout the network. And number two, I just want to clarify that I'd be the last person in the world to speak against or argue against producing Spanish language or any other language, news or other forms of programming. I think the issue really is one of available time. Number two, being giving different communities equal access and democracy. And three, what works best? And what will more people learn from? Will they learn from programming in one language or from bilingual programming? And I would just add, you know, I've spent 30-some-odd years as a tenant organizer. I've been in building after building after building where I conducted meetings in English and Spanish and sometimes in Amharic as well, and one or two times in Mandarin, and I don't remember what the other Chinese dialect was. So three or four languages. We were able to do that. I ain't Superman. So if I could do that in a meeting, I think we can do that in programming.
Thank you so much. Okay, that'll conclude our public comment time for today. Thank you to all the members of the public who have taken your time to come and speak to us. And we will go ahead and resume with the rest of the agenda. So again, thank you.